2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Check us out using the link in the description, whether you're checking us out on iTunes or YouTube. We've got everything covered from baseball to the World Cup, NASCAR, golf, you name it. We are covering it, and we did a really good job with the U.S. Open last week. I want to keep that rolling forward onto this week, so come check us out, dfsarmy.com, and use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 10% off. So this week, we're staying in the New England area. We're going from New York over to Connecticut for the Travelers Championship at TPC River Highlands. We don't really have many Connecticut natives. We do have one in the field, J.J. Henry, but he's not really relevant. Although Keegan Bradley is from neighboring Massachusetts, so I guess this is sort of a home event for him. Not really, but kind of. This is another par 70 course, but we're shaving off about 600 yards of length. This is a 6,800-yard par 70. A lot shorter than last week. And obviously, it shouldn't play nearly as hard. Last week was pretty unique with the USGA setup for the US Open and the insanely difficult course with no one going under par. Koepka winning it even. Here we usually see a pretty tight spread of finishing or winning scores. Spieth won 12 under last year. Knox 14 under the year before that. Bubba won with 16 under back in 2015, 15 under for Streelman in 2014, 12 under for Ken Duke in 2013, 14 under for Leishman's win in 2012, and Bubba's win back in 2010. And oddly enough, the record for most fantasy points scored here goes to Freddie Jakobsen when he won 20 under par in 2011. That year, the course played excruciatingly easy. Average score, 4 under par. Usually, this plays right around par or a stroke under par in between there. It's pretty much average as far as scoring goes compared to the rest of the PGA Tour. Par 70s are usually harder to score on, but this is not the hardest par 70 that there is. One trend that I do note just from the average round scores each year is that usually round two is the hardest round of the event. And round three, they usually, for some reason, we see scores dip a stroke or two come round three and round four. Now, as for key stats to look for this week, I got a couple new ones for you guys that you guys might like here. I know that strokes gained approach is quite king, and yes, that does correlate pretty directly with results here, but not as much as we would usually see. The guys finishing in the top 5, top 10, you know, in weeks before when we had done these breakdowns, we would see those guys averaging about a stroke and a half or so approach. Not the case this week. It's not really that direct, the line with approach and putting. Strokes gained around the green is still a little noisy. Putting, of course, leads to a lot of success, but it's hard to tell who's going to putt well on any given week. We see strokes gained off the tee factoring in pretty decently, with a slight lean towards driving distance. Winners, especially at this event, on average guys hit the ball about 287 288. Winners are averaging 297 yards off of the tee, so the bombers tend to do really well here. I guess Bubba winning that twice kind of adds to that, but even, you know, the guys in the top five, they're averaging 294 off of the tee. Bombers can certainly rack it up here, but it's not like a bomber's course at all. It's really more of a par four scoring course, especially the medium length par fours, as there are eight of those on the course. The main predictor for success here is greens in regulation. It has the highest correlation with fantasy points, and usually we see strokes gained approach and greens regulation kind of equal in correlation. This week, greens regulation percentage a lot higher than strokes gained approach. And to help with breaking down greens of regulation this week, I added a new stat called greens in regulation gained. It's a stat that they have over on the European Tour, actually. Decided to throw that into the mix here because it's such a nice stat. It shows you what percentage of greens you hit for each given round, more or less than the field. You either gain or you lose greens of regulation on the field. Like if, for example, if you hit 12 of your 18 greens in regulation, and the field average that week is like, say, 11, or for that round, you know, you go up 1 or 5% or whatever, but it just shows your average based on all rounds you've played this season, and compares your greens of regulation percentage to the field. Because if you look at last week, everyone's greens of regulation numbers were way, way low. But comparing that to the field average helps sort that out tremendously. And it really does show you who's good at finding the green under any circumstance. We did the same with fantasy points. That's based on per event, and it includes finishing position and everything. It's just the average fantasy points that you've gained or lost compared to the field average, you know, where they all ended up for every given week. You can see the studs average about 20 to 25 more fantasy points than average, and that's about normal. You can just really see who, you know, given a field, field strength, given a field's or a course's conditions, you know, it really helps to balance that all out and look at everybody's performances in perspective. If you just look at average fantasy points, then guys that played in the Tournament of Champions, you know, and finished last place for 18th and a whole bunch of fantasy points because they played in a no-cut event, you know, those guys are going to get unnecessarily boosted even if they, like, sucked. So looking at those greens of regulation and fantasy points gained stats are going to be crucial. And we've added some tools for the showdown. I won during the third round last week, had a ton of success, pretty much cashed everything that I played in GPP, just stacking the morning tee. They ended up shooting two under the PMT's times. Like, there was a crazy split. It's insane. Won the $1, I think it was the 4K showdown. Came in third or fourth. I think it was fourth place in the $3 there. I think I had a few inside of the top 10, but it was just a really, really, really good week for the showdown. So I thought, you know, to add a few more things showdown related for this week. So a new tab on the research station is called Showdown Tools. You can see, instead of just putting showdown fantasy points per round, you know, with weeks like last week, thinking about that, you know, it's a lot better to put it in perspective. So the stat I use is showdown fantasy points gained, and we can look at it through a few different splits. There's just per round straight up, so how many showdown fantasy points more they average than any given golfer in that round. Shows how well they do during the AM and the PM, so you can see which guys are morning guys and which guys are night guys. Some of the splits with the guys are wild. Daniel Berger really loves morning tees. Not so great when he tees off in the PM. Who would have figured that? It also shows round one, round two, round three, and round four splits. You can see that Rory this year is struggling with round one, round two, only gaining one or two fantasy points to the whole field, so not really worth paying for in the first two rounds. But when he gets it, or when he makes the cut and gets it going in the third round, gaining over 10 fantasy points in those rounds. You can see once he makes a weekend, he's a weekend warrior. Stuff like that just really neat to look at. So check out our showdown tools. Each night I'm going to try to update the ownership percentages from the round before, and the raw fantasy points that these guys have scored to help make your decisions for the showdown. But in this podcast, we'll be talking the week long on it has different pricing and everything. So jumping into this field here, we've got a very strong top heavy sort of field, even though we just had a major last week. Brooks Koepka is even playing this after winning the U.S. Open. He might withdraw, but I haven't seen any news of that yet. I'm really surprised that he isn't out in Cancun or something right now. That's good on you, Brooks, playing 3 weeks in a row, just squeezing the U.S. Open in between that. Just a major victory, nothing huge, nothing to celebrate. So we have Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth. They're all right around the 14-1 range. Then you got a few guys in the 17-1 range: Jason Day, Paul Casey, and Patrick Reed. Then you've got to jump to about the 25-1 range: Bryson DeChambeau, Mark Leishman, and Webb Simpson. Those are your 9K and above guys. Not bad for an in-betweener kind of week. You've got Justin Thomas, who just had the worst performance of his entire year, finishing only 25th at the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka, obviously, just won back-to-back U.S. Opens. Rory McIlroy, who missed the cut pretty badly and is not in the greatest spot. Same with Jordan Spieth, missed the cut by a stroke. That's two cuts in a row missed for him, but he's the defending champion. He debuted winning this tournament last year. Up top, I guess you should also talk about Patrick Reed. He's $10,000 on DraftKings. Fourth place finish at the U.S. Open, almost won back-to-back majors. Really put it together last week. It's weird that the names that you would usually figure to be the safest names up here, Rory and Jordan Spieth, those are going to be the contrarian picks. Or if you could even look to Jason Day at $9,800. It's crazy that Paul Casey and Jason Day are about the same price, but Casey is going to be chalk over Day, and Day and Spieth and Rory, these guys are going to be contrarian, low-owned sort of picks. It's weird. That's a lot of talent in those three names: Day, Spieth, Rory. They've all spent many weeks at number one. Those three in particular, along with Dustin Johnson, have been the world number one golfers over the last 5 years. And it's just crazy, considering what these guys' prices have been historically, but it's looking like Paul Casey and Patrick Reed are looking like the strongest plays of this range. Koepka's always been great, but that injury, really shook him up for quite a while. Now he's back to square one, better than he's ever been before. He's set an $11,300. We've almost never seen him being priced so high, but it's pretty much fair this week, just based on what he's been doing. Almost won the Fort Worth Invitational. I mean, really, everything's set up for him as long as he actually, cares about this week, which is it's something that is still up for debate here, because, it's hard to put a lot of stock into a guy that just won the U.S. Open. Winning tournaments back-to-back, ask Dustin Johnson, it's really hard to do. Justin Thomas has to be the favorite here. If you look at him, he actually doesn't have the highest adjusted field rank in this field. It's Paul Casey, because Casey's just super crazy consistent. But Thomas averages the most fantasy points gained. Just really solid, gaining strokes in every single strokes gained category over every single split. Last time out at the U.S. Open, that top 25 finish, or the 25th place finish, I guess, you pretty much gained just under half a stroke in every single category. And he's so well-rounded. There's no real weak spots in his game. All the season-long numbers are just, he gains almost a half a stroke in every single measure. He just doesn't really have weaknesses, Sure, his driving accuracy isn't the best, but it was pretty darn good last week. And for someone that hits the ball 312 yards, it's really, really good. He leads the entire field in fantasy points per hole and projected course score. really, really, really solid in that medium par 4 range, and that's what's going to make him the top play here. I know that you have to pay $11,500 on DraftKings. He's actually cheaper than he's cheaper than Brooks Koepka over there on FanDuel. $12,300, $200 cheaper than Brooks. On FanDuel, yeah, absolutely, you go with JT. On DraftKings, I still am probably taking him. You know, there's a case to be made for guys like Spieth or Reed, of course, and you know, Casey's going to be a really obvious move here. And you know, it's definitely not a studs and duds kind of week, or however you want to say it, studs and scrubs. You know, it's not worth it to take two of these studs like last week. You know, we were constantly taking two studs, three studs. This week, you really only want to take one, and starting at Casey and just stacking the 9K range. Not only is that a good move this week, I think that's going to be popular. If you look at that 9K range, Bryson DeChambeau has just been playing fantastically. Another top 25 for him. Leishman is looking good. Didn't have the best weekend, but his course history here is just perfect. Webb Simpson also really, really good course history here. Top 10 last week. And I found with Webb Simpson, he is the best round 4 play. There's a stat I'll add to the research station whenever round 4 comes around. But it's called Par 4 Performance. It's one of the PGA Tour's hidden stats. Basically, it tells you how many, how often players move up positions on round 4 from round 3. And Webb Simpson went from 15th to 10th last week at the U.S. Open in round 4. That makes him 16 for 16 on the season in gaining positions in round 4. So if he makes the cut, which I'm sure he's going to do, the 83% made cut percentage, a ridiculous top 20 percentage, over a 50% top 20 percentage for him, just crazy numbers. Yeah, he's going to make the cut, and I'm going to use him round 4 on Showdown. That's going to be one of my targets with him. Right there at $9,000, guy we haven't talked about yet here, Ryan Moore, really solid play on FanDuel, like super, super solid. $9,800 over there. He has really, really, really good course history here. And last time out, the Memorial, we saw him finish 13th. Four top 30 finishes in his last five times out on tour. Very sneaky as far as ownership goes. He's kind of always overpriced and underowned. And this week, that is absolutely the case. People might go to Daniel Berger right underneath him. And before I get into Berger, I'll just tell you what I like about Moore so much. I know he's not the longest off the tees, very short, but high driving accuracy and an incredible average greens of regulation gained. Right behind Bryson for the best average greens of regulation gained per round of anyone that we've talked about so far, of all these studs. Just really good at that. Not very good at gaining fantasy points. So he's a really... He's sort of like a cash game play for me, although I think I prefer Webb or Leishman above him. It's just this 9K range from top to bottom is just fantastic this week. And Ryan Moore should be considered a lot in GPP. I mean, really solid last time out, and his last, if you look at his last five events played, his stroke scanned approach so much better than everyone else in this range. So just someone to really consider there, Ryan Moore on FanDuel, just lock him in. Daniel Berger, nice, finished fifth, or top five, and the only two times he's played this event, second last year. So looking really good. He was, you know, leading going into round four. He's one of the four tied for the lead there. And last week he gained everything on the greens. He lost strokes off the tee, lost 0.6 strokes off the tee. He's had really awesome approach game, and that's been consistent for a little while now. He's been putting up some buku numbers in that regard, but last week his performance came almost strictly from putting. Now I know he's going to be, you know, a really tempting play, but someone that's gaining strokes from putting like that. It just makes for a fade for me. And you remember back at the St. Jude Classic, he had won that twice in a row. So his course history is even better than his course history here somehow. He missed the cut there. So, yeah. Kind of sketchy with Bubba, or not Bubba, but Daniel Berger. We're about to talk about Bubba and how he's sketchy, but Berger, I think he's just a trap. Everyone's going to see the course history. But, you know, just based on the precedent he set at St. Jude, I don't have my hopes that high for Berger. Bubba Watson at $8,800. He's won this twice in 2010 and 2015, runner-up in 2012, fourth place in 2013. Yeah, the guy knows his way around here. The issue with Bubba is his current form and last year. Last year, he missed the cut at this event. And just like this year, last year he was coming in off of an unfortunate miscut at the U.S. Open. So, you know, the precedent from last year is you might want to avoid Bubba Watson in this spot. He's still $8,800. Really, really, really high price for him. The course history, obviously, taken into account, especially over on FanDuel, $10,400. I think you should definitely have some in GPP. He's just very much a GPP play. Very good at gaining strokes off the tee. Even last time out, he gained half a stroke approach in the two rounds at the U.S. Open. It's just the around the green stats. Oh boy, not great. putting stats also just miserable. And you know, Bubba's just not a very good putter. The short game just not working out for him at all. Just no signs of life. That could turn around on him for sure. And at a place like this, but I'm not too interested in using a ton of him. I'll have some, definitely, for the upside, but not as thrilled with him as I usually am at the Travelers Championship. You know, coming into this, I figure, hey, I'll just use Bubba at the Travelers for one and done. Now, I don't know, I'm probably leaning towards the next guy I'm about to talk to here, Charlie Hoffman, because I didn't use him earlier this season. Didn't use him at the Valero Texas Open. I ended up going Kuchar instead. So this is where you want to burn Charlie Hoffman. Several top 10 finishes for him. Five top 26 finishes in a row with three top 10s sprinkled in there. Third last year. Second place finish as well. The dude really knows his way around here. Gaining fantasy points and greens of regulation pretty much every time out. Outside of putting, gain strokes, tee to green, massively. Had quite the showing at the U.S. Open. He had been in a really, really rough spot, and nobody owned the guy. But he was up there in the top 10 for a good amount until Sunday. I ended up fading back into 20th position. But Hoffman, you know, very expensive for DFS purposes. I'm considering just using him in, like, one and done and kind of calling it a day. Maybe using him on FanDuel some. He's a pretty decent value there. I mean, I'll have some on DraftKings, but, you know, like I said, I'll get exposure to him through other means, like one and done. Xander Schauffele had missed two cuts in a row, turned that around with yet another good finish at a strong field. He was second at the Players, sixth at the U.S. Open. Just misses the cut at lesser events, I guess. Saves it for the big stuff. 14th here at this event last year in his debut. Was just really spectacular in every regard last time out, but he did gain a lot of his strokes through the putter. You know, good at the medium par 4 range. If you want to use him, sure. I never use a ton of Xander because he's usually overpriced just because he really does pop at the strongest of events, but I kind of knew to play a little bit of him last week just because he does, you know, like I said, tend to play better at majors and, you know, big events like that. But this week, I don't know. I just like all the guys around him a little bit more. Billy Horschel, I would use him round one showdown. That's what the numbers are saying there. But I wouldn't even I wouldn't even touch him otherwise on either site. Then we get into a nice little range here. 8,400, 8,200. Just three guys, one at each salary spot here, but they're very good plays. Patrick Cantlay at $8,400, way more expensive on FanDuel. They finally got him. They finally got him doing well, or priced correctly over on FanDuel. Played this a bit as an amateur, 24th in 2011. He was very young back then. Made the cut last week, and you know, just didn't really do much with that. Fourth at the Memorial, 90% made cut percentage, 77% adjusted field rank, just really good numbers. Awesome in gaining greens of regulation and fantasy points. Just statistically, he's a stud. And the thing about these three, Cantlay, Harmon, and Zach Johnson here in the lower $8,000 range, is these three guys are the best in the field at the medium par fours. They average almost a fantasy point per hole. So, you know, with these three, just you definitely want to use these guys a lot, and use them together. I find that stacking several guys in a price range can be effective for just making yourself different, because usually people just pick one or the other. If you start a lineup off with Harmon, Zach Johnson, and Snedeker, or I mean, you can't throw Snedeker in there, but I wouldn't. I meant Cantlay there. If you start with those three, that's going to make a really nice balanced lineup. But Zach Johnson, I know he missed the cut here last year, but just awesome last week. That's the ZJ we all know and love. I know he had the missed cut at Fort Worth, which was like the worst time, and the MDF at the Players was freaking terrible. But outside of that, his season has been perfect, making every cut. 12th last time out, 6th here in 2015. Just really decent value for him. Then Harmon at 8,300. His top 10 percentage is nutty. 33% top 10 percentage. That is legitimate with him. He is, like I've always said, he's just a GPP play. Big time. Really good at the par 4 range. Gained over a stroke and a half approach last time out. It was just the bad putting. And attacking that in round four in showdown, because he had been just losing strokes putting, that turned out to be a really successful strategy. It's kind of what you want to do in the later rounds of showdown. But yeah, Brian Harmon, love him in GPP this week. He had a third place finish here in 2015, so that upside is there. He can, you know, like I said earlier, the 33% top 10 percentage is just so good. Get you a piece of him for what I would imagine is low ownership and not the worst price. At $8,000, Russell Knox, he won here in 2016, back when he was a much, much, much better golfer. But he's kind of showing signs of that right now. In his last four events, three top 20 finishes, all made cuts. Looked awesome, tied with ZJ for 12th at the U.S. Open. Things are turning around for Mr. Knox. He did all of his damage last week with the putter, though. Quite unfortunate, but his approach game has been solid all year, really, especially over the last month or so. And at $8,000, just a really nice little guy to throw in there. J.B. Holmes has had a nice little run here, finishing third at the St. Jude Classic to pretty much everyone's surprise. Gains it all off of the tee. Looked really bad approach, actually, but it didn't matter. At the St. Jude Classic, you know, we were kind of targeting strokes gained approach there. And he ended up just having a really good performance, but I'd just sprinkle him the slightest amount in GPP. But I'd take Knox over him and a few of the other guys here. Keegan Bradley, very disappointing last week at the U.S. Open. Just did horribly. Pretty much lost strokes in every category, even approaching the green, where he usually is just a stud. Lost half a stroke, just did not put Shinnecock together. But this is a course he does have together. He has six top 40 finishes in a row, including an eighth place finish last year. Not bad. I think Bradley does better at weaker fields, for sure. That's you definitely will play him during like the swing season and stuff. So at a spot like this, I could see him popping for low ownership. I mean, no one's gonna take him after last week, so I don't mind him at all. Luke List has never made the cut here. Missed the cut last week at the U.S. Open, and you know, I think his run has kind of come to an end. We saw it last year. He had one really nice run of like top 25s. Kind of had a deja vu of that this year. I don't know if it's I think he'll pop a couple of times throughout this year, but I don't think he's the safe play that he was. And his par four, or is it medium length par four scoring, it's not good. You don't want to play that. Patrick Rogers, the number one trender, or the number one drifter from last week. And they knew, I guess. I don't know, but I don't know how they knew. Ended up making the cut at the U.S. Open for whatever reason. He was very, very, very cheap and was one of the best round four showdown plays you could have made. Not round three. Oh, man, round three is bad, but just a really surprising performance from him. We're going to an event where he's made the cut 4 years in a row. Third place finish in 2016. I don't know why there was so much freaking Vegas movement on him last week. I mean, I looked into it. I can't really tell. But he's really turned around, you know. Eighth at the Memorial and made the cut last week. That's just a good sign for, I guess, my local rooting interest. Technically, he's the golfer that lives closest to me. So go Rogers, I guess. He looks like a nice play on FanDuel as well for the price. Jamie Lovemark, someone that has not been playing a ton recently. Only one event played in the last month. Finished 37th at the Memorial. I guess he just hasn't qualified for a lot of these majors and stuff, but Lovemark's been playing pretty consistently. Has missed the cut here the last 2 years, so I wouldn't use him a ton, but, I mean, statistically, he's been pretty solid, kind of under the radar this year. Emiliano Grillo rates as our number one top value. 60-1 odds in the $7,700 range will do that to you. He made the cut here last year like he makes the cut everywhere, except for last week. Last week, he had his first missed cut of the season by one stroke, one single stroke at the hardest golf course we've seen in several years. Kind of easy to forgive Grillo, I'll be honest there. Dude's been a top 25 made cut machine. I think he can definitely turn it around in an instant, and I would not be surprised to see him like just go from miscut to win here. I mean, this really just comes down to how much does a missed cut by one stroke at the U.S. Open affect your thoughts on a guy? Because if he just wasn't in the field last week, he would be the unquestioned chalk, no contest. He's priced correctly on FanDuel. On DraftKings, $7,700 for him. Just crazy, I think. Kyle Stanley rates out pretty well here, but has questionable course history. Didn't do well last week. Just horrible around the greens. And Brendan Steele at $7,600. Really awesome course history here. Didn't miss the cut in 2012, but other than that, it's been all top 25 finishes. Six of them, including five in a row for Mr. Steele. He was looking good for the U.S. Open, just blew up over the weekend, had a horrible weekend, gained a ton of strokes approach, just lost all of his strokes putting. That's what we like to see here. Just good fantasy point score overall. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Steele. He's one of our top values for a reason. At the same price, though, you definitely have some options. You have Henley, who's only played her once, finished 11th in 2016, and he's had a few good finishes in a row. Rates for a pretty good value, actually, is right next to Grillo in odds. And then you've got Changsun Pan, my guy, my countryman, Taiwan number one, as the H1Z1 community would say, jokingly. Changsun Pan has a course history here of a 25th place finish in 2015, 8th place finish last year, and he's made four cuts in a row now. He's looking really solid, gains a ton of greens and reg, and I like seeing that here, but if he gains a ton of greens and reg to the field, just not really the biggest like stroke gainer in any category, but just solid all around, kind of what we're looking for this week. Good course history and everything. Everything's just kind of lining up for Pan to blow it up on me, but I don't care. I'm using a bunch of him on FanDuel. He's a good price as well, $8,600. Very nice play over there. And then another option off of all the guys I've talked about so far in the $7,600 range, is Austin Cook. Sixth place finish last time out at the St. Jude Classic. Nice turnaround from two miscuts in a row. So on the season, he's played like almost 20 events already. He's made 80% of those cuts. Gained 11.7 fantasy points on average. Just really good at putting fantasy points on the board. Cook is just a nice little pivot off of Pan, who I imagine will get a little bit of love, and then Steele, who has the course history you can't ignore, and of course Grillo being someone definitely worthy of everyone's attention. Nick Watney at $7,500, and Adam Hadwin, some guys I was on like crazy this season who've let me down recently. It's been almost a month since Watney was like our top play at the Fort Worth Invitational and just exploded round one and just shit in our cereal. He made the cut at the Memorial, finished T57. I don't know if, you know, that's really, you know, the good thing about him was he was putting up top 50s pretty much every single week to start this, or to start the year. I don't know if I'm ready to go back in on Watney. And really, the main thing I liked about him, the one thing I mentioned every single week on the pod, was the guy just continues to be under 2% owned every single week. That week he missed the cut, he was 13% owned. So I think the word's out with Watney. I don't know, he was our early season darling, but you know, I'll use him on FanDuel some, but I'm not really going to touch him on DraftKings this week. And Adam Hadwin, he had just been getting worse and worse and worse over the last few weeks. He was bound to miss the cut, and he missed the cut just horribly. 136th at the U.S. Open. Yikes, don't touch. And then you've got a few guys at the $7,400 range that are interesting here. Bo Hostler, play him in round one showdown. He's another one of those guys just really good at round one, maybe better round one leader. The dude's just made cut after cut after cut after cut after cut after cut. He has not posted a top 30 finish in his last six times out, but he does have the runner-up finish from Houston. So he's really a safe, almost like a cash game option. Hitting it 302, but with pretty decent accuracy, gaining greens regulation, just, you know, technically losing strokes approach, but he pretty much always loses about a third of a stroke approach, and that's solid. He's just not the greatest in that regard, but he gains so many off the tee, makes up for it. Pretty good putter. I mean, Hostler, I don't know if I'd play him in cash, but he's kind of like a safe-ish made cut. Then you've got Kevin Streelman, who won this thing in 2014. Eighth last year. And, you know, he had after that amazing start to the season, he put some top 10s in a row and then just missed three cuts in a row. He did make the cut at the Memorial last time out. It's a sign of life. I'll have some Streelman to get off Hostler, just so I'm not all in on Hostler here. Maybe even a touch of like Martin Laird or Graham McDowell if I'm feeling feisty here. But I'm going to try to stick to Hostler and Streelman or go down to the $7,300 range where we see Chesson Hadley, a guy who's just like Hadwin and finally missed that cut. He had missed cuts before in the season, but he was on quite the crazy run of top 20s there. Missed the cut by a few strokes last week, and he's never made the cut here in two tries, but $7,300 is an insanely cheap price for someone with the numbers that he has. He gains 15.9 fantasy points, and that's just so much better than everyone else in this range. And then Troy Merritt, who's just on a great streak of form. 12th last time out at the St. Jude. 8th last year at this event, although that was his first made cut. Or I think his second made cut, but his first time doing better than, you know, a T67 in six tries. So I'd use Merritt, but I would use him with some caution because I think his game log looks a lot better than he really is. And you can see it in the odds, too. Hadley's odds are so much better than Merritt for the same price, but I don't know. Going down to the $7,300 range, or just going down further in it here, Bill Haas is starting to turn things around a little bit. He could be interesting. He doesn't put up many fantasy points, though. Just really, really good at avoiding double bogeys. That's like his main thing. just a safe guy, but he pars so much. He's not great for fantasy. And then you've got Honor Band Lahiri, who usually is pretty good for fantasy. He's made several cuts in a row now. 17th last year. I don't know. He could be sneaky. Maybe like a showdown play. And then Jim Furyk, who was top 10 until Sunday. Just blew up on Sunday. But, man, what a surprising guy to see in the top 10, top 15, like all week long, the U.S. Open. Just what the way that everything ended up, I don't know how he ended up carrying the 285-yard carry on one of the par fives last week, but he did it, and he was seventh place going into the round four, where he just blew up. I don't know if that's the part. I don't know if like the overall momentum of him playing well will parlay into a week where, you know, he's had two great finishes in a row, fifth in 2016, where he posted the score of 58, the all-time PGA Tour record. Yeah, he did that here. That was great for fantasy scoring. My God, made me some money that week. But, you know, since then, it's been a world of hurt for Mr. Jim Furyk, both literally and figuratively. He's posted some made cuts, but, you know, I would really, really watch myself with Furyk. And if you go from Furyk, you can, for the same price, you can take a complete 180 in golf approach and take and go from a guy that averages 275 off the tee to 321 off of the tee. Trey Mullinax. Just only play him if you're a crazy man. I just think it's funny how they're the same price, but their driving distances are just worlds apart, like 50 yards in difference. It's insane. At $7,200, the two really good plays there are Rory Sabatini, who's just a made cut monster, round one showdown monster. Play him round one showdown, absolutely. Just always fighting for first round leader. Then Chez Reavie, who has an awesome course history here, 5 for 5 in made cuts. Made the cut last week, or no, he didn't. He missed the cut by one stroke. He had that great showing at the St. Jude Classic when he had popped for us there. Really good par four score. I would use a bit of Chez Reavie. Then maybe sprinkle in some Keith Mitchell, Joel Dahman, guys that we've been bigger on in weeks past but have let us down in major ways. I don't know what was up with Mitchell when he finished like last at the Memorial, but he turned it around instantly at the St. Jude Classic, so I don't know. If strokes gained off the tee are on the menu, then I do like a little Keith Mitchell there. And then Dahman, who knows with him. maybe he'll go back to his good form there. Going into the low $7,000, you've got the 2008 winner here, Stuart Sink, who turned it around after several missed cuts and finished fourth at the St. Jude Classic. Just a really good showing from him. The approach stats have been there all year long, and they really just stayed consistent at the St. Jude. It was just the first week they finally decided to putt decently. So if that keeps rolling, you know, who knows how Mr. Sink could do here. And then Kevin Chui, the only thing I worry about him is, like, he's a real, real Texas boy, and we're far away from Texas. But he did make the cut here last year. And back in 2014 was the last time he played. He also made the cut then, finished 26th. So, you know, he had a really bad time at the St. Jude Classic, but you know, maybe he can show a little bit of that Texas form here at a tournament where he's at least shown that he's been able to do it before. 7K even, there's Aaron Baddeley, who was pretty good last week, just kind of came out of nowhere. And then Pat Perez, just really good odds value. It's kind of turned it around over the last few times out, but his form is still kind of questionable for me. And Corey Connors, who he does not show up on the odds at all. He's like a 200-to-1 kind of guy. But he's just been making cuts. 80% made cut percentage on the year. 8th at the Fort Worth Invitational. Gaining, you know, 3% in the average greens of regulation gain. That's a really good number. Gaining fantasy points as well. Gained a stroke and a half approach last time out at the St. Jude Classic. So that's someone I want to target for sure. Give me some Corey Connors this week. Vaughn Taylor at $6,900. Two top 20 finishes for a row. and he's had some top 20 finishes here as well. 11th in 2012, 9th in 2010. That was a while ago, but the last 2 years he's made the cut both times. Nice cash game play, honestly, Mr. Von Taylor. And you get down to the lower 6K range, it's slim pickings. I have to consider Mr. Hoagie again. Bryce Garnett, who's been okay. You know, James Hahn, you know. Hard to know. I'd really like to avoid this 6K range. We have Dylan Meyer, who at $6,700, who popped last week at the U.S. Open. Don't know a lot about the guy yet, but so far he's done pretty decently. And then, you know, Min Price, there's nobody. $6,500. You've got Brandon Harkins, who's made 76% of his cuts on the season in 20 events. You know, made the cut last time out, 37th at the St. Jude Classic. You know, a lot of his finishes are like T60 something. So the made cut percentage, you know, it doesn't really show how crappy he's been. And yeah, last time out, actually, he lost 3 strokes approach. So I'm kind of worried about Mr. Harkins there. I don't know if I could really use a ton of him. I'm just going to try to avoid the 6K range and try to stick to the 7Ks, honestly. That's the plan for this week. So hope I was able to be very helpful for you guys at the Travelers Championship. Hopefully I have another good week. I finished 4th in the FanDuel. I think it was a $1 or something. I think it was a single entry last week. I ended up winning a few hundred just off of that, so that one was pretty cool. Then I won the, the $1 showdown last week. Gonna try to put some more wins on the board. Been doing all my winning on NASCAR, trying to get some PGA Tour wins for the old Twitter machine. Posted a few of those up there the other day, but hopefully this week we'll be able to add a ton more to there. And of course I want to see your guys' helmets up at the top of the board. And if you don't have a helmet yet and you think that the information I've been talking about sounds awesome and you want to come check it out yourself, and believe me, you want to. It looking at it is so much better than just taking my word on this stuff. Plus you want to use the Domination Station to help with that new 150 entry 50 cent contest, the mini max they've got out there still. If you want to do that, come check us out, link in the description, dfsarmy.com, and use promo code TACO on sign up to get a lifetime 10% off. Let them know that we sent you. It'll help support the pod and help us, you know, keep delivering content like this for free. Hopefully I see you guys there. You can hit me up on the Slack chat just if you have any questions tomorrow before lineups lock. Hope you guys have a good week this week and win all the money, put the helmets on top. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.